Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. We'll read verses 12 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Titus, chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here. Lord, it seems like service after service after service, your presence is here. Well, that makes coming to church exciting for us. But I wonder if that's exciting for you as well, being with your people. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power. Fill us with your power as he preaches. Transfer the truth that you've given him to our lives so that we could live it for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is a one-word title. It is the word zeal. Z-E-A-L. If you have your Bible there, I want you to glance at it again, please. We read earlier from the book of Titus, the New Testament book of Titus. Look at chapter 2 again, verse number 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look back at me, if you will. The scripture here refers to Jesus. The Bible says that he redeemed us. He bought us. That's what he did when he shed his blood. He bought us unto himself. Then, since he bought us, we then are to be a peculiar people. What's that mean? We're to be set aside in a special way unto him. You and I are going to be different than the world. You say, why? Because of who owns us. We are the property of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because we are, we're different. And we're supposed to be different. We live in a generation of Christianity that does not want to be different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar. So, Jesus redeemed us, and because of that, he has a right to expect us to be different. Then he talks about our being purified. In other words, being clean. That word purified there, if you look at it real carefully, it really is talking about like when at my house we have a system on our water that strains the impurities out of it. And the Lord is saying that we ought to strain the impurities out of your life. You ought to have a purified life. God deserves a pure product from you. So Jesus redeemed us. He has a right for us to be peculiar. We are to strain the worldliness and the sin out of our lives. And then he says here that purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're to be doing good works for him. Now, not just good works, but good works unto him. To glorify him. But it says here that this is to be done in a zealous way. The word zeal is used here. Now, a lot of people have zeal for a lot of things. For instance, I read of a man that had zeal for growing fingernails. He grew his fingernails 28 foot 4.5 inches long. He was zealous about his fingernails. For you fingernail biters, that sounds delicious, doesn't it? I read of a man who had a zeal for putting on shirts, like the shirt that I have on here. In 4 hours, he put on, buttoned up, 155 shirts, one after another. They weighed 100 pounds. What a good way to spend your life. 4 well-invested hours. I read of a man that had a zeal for watermelon seed spitting. He set a record of spitting a watermelon seed 61 foot 6 inches. Now that's like making you into a chick magnet, you know? That is bringing the women in. I read a story of a man up in Toronto, Canada, who had a zeal for making a sock. We're talking about the kind that goes on your foot. Toronto, Canada, November 2007, at a special center there, he unveiled a sock that he had made that was 90 foot 1 inches long. That's extremely important. Here's the zeal of a man who became a zealot about picking apples. Claude Brinton, September of 2007, in 8 hours, picked 30,240 apples. Here's a man that had a zeal for throwing free throw shots. I'm on the basketball court. His name is Mike Campbell. Last year, 2007, he's from Denver, Colorado. In 1 hour, he made 1,338 free throw shots. He was shooting 90%. That's 9 out of 10 from the free throw line. Here's a man that had a zeal for roller coaster riding. Richmond Rodriguez, probably one of your relatives, brother. Richmond Rodriguez spent 17 days, 24 hours a day, nonstop, riding a roller coaster. That's stupid. There are people that say, well, you know, I'm not put together that way. I don't have that drive or that intensity or that zeal. We have zeal about which we want to have that which we want to have zeal. We pick what we want to throw ourselves into. There's a great lack of zeal among Christians today, at least a lack of zeal for the things of the Lord. We see a lethargy among God's people. There's not a lot of spiritual drive. We all need a spiritual B12 shot. We get spiritually groggy. We're in a hurry to do a lot of nothing for God. Zeal is now an admired trait, but not so much a desired trait. The average Christian sits back and says, I admire what that guy's doing. You ought to be saying, I want to do what that guy's doing. Spiritual welfareites are everywhere. People that are living off the hard work of other spiritual people. The average churches are built by a few and everybody else enjoys the ride. People who used to be considered the norm in regard to their spiritual effort are now considered spiritual workaholics. The spiritual zeal of yesterday is fanaticism in the weaker eyes of this generation. I want to talk to you about the term zeal. I'm going to be quick, but listen to me. First of all, let's ask ourselves, what is zeal? What is zeal? Now, the Bible term zeal would have been used in the New Testament in a Greek form, in the Old Testament in a Hebrewic form. But if you take the microscope and you look at that word zeal a little more carefully, you'll find this. Zeal is being fervent about something. It's being earnest about something. It's being emotionally and physically enthusiastic about something to the point of virtually having a godly jealousy about it. Now, you know, the Bible teaches that God was jealous, but that was a pure jealousy. God had an attachment to something, and it was so big and so urgent. And we can get to the point where something is so important to us that there is a pure jealousy about us in regard to it. Now, the Webster Dictionary says that zeal is eager interest in the pursuit of something. The Webster's Dictionary says it is a fervor about something. It is an enthusiasm or a passion. There's a word, the word zealot in the dictionary. It means you're a fanatical participant. And in the Bible, when you and I have zeal, there are some that are going to say you're a fanatic. You're a fanatic. But let me tell you, that's not so. It is not that we are the fanatics. It's that they're so uninterested and so uncommitted. That's what it really boils down to. So what is zeal? Zeal is this fervent, earnest, emotional, physical, enthusiastic way about ourselves where we're passionate, virtually being jealous about getting things done for God and accomplishing something. Now, so you know this, number two, zeal is the duty of a Christian. You have your Bible there. We looked at it a moment ago, Titus 2:14, where the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You and I here, we are told that we are to be fervent and earnest, both emotionally and physically, about our good works for the Lord. We're not to just do good works. We are to be fervent about those good works. It means we apply ourselves. We really give ourselves to the work. I want you to look at another verse. Take your Bible quickly and turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 18. I'm saying to you, secondly, zeal is the duty of the Christian. Galatians chapter 4, verse 18. Galatians 4:18 says this, but it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. The Apostle Paul says here, you are to be zealous about what you do. And notice that Paul is saying to someone, you ought to be zealous when I, the preacher, am present, and when I'm not. Hey, you ought to be zealous when the preacher's around and zealous when the preacher's not around. And that's what's being said here. It is our duty to be zealous. Now, what is zeal? It's a fervency. It's an urgency. It's an eagerness. It's a fervor. It's an enthusiasm. It's a passion. And we're to have that. That's right. And it is the duty of a Christian. Do you have zeal for Jesus? Do you have zeal for your service to Him? Would anyone say that you're a zealot? You say, what are you saying? Somebody's probably, if you're doing it like you ought to, somebody's going to say, you're a fanatic. Having zeal in the eyes of others make you fanatical about the things of God. Because the average don't understand zeal. They have no intense drive and effort about God. Now, they have it about other things, but not about God. Number three, we should practice zeal when it comes to repenting from our sins. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19. Revelation 3:19. We should practice zeal when it comes to the repenting of our sins. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, it would be easy for us to take off here and talk about a lot of other things about which we should be zealous, but let me start here. I think God would like to see you and I zealous about repentance from sin. You know, you're going to accomplish more in life if you get the sin out of your life. God doesn't just clean you up to use you as a trophy. God cleans you up to use you like a tool. Now, we are indeed trophies of grace. If God saved us, thank God for it. But let me tell you, God wants to use you as a tool, so He cleans you to use you. And God says here, be zealous in regard to repentance from your sin. What do you mean? Be fervent about getting the sin out of your life. Be earnest about repenting. Be emotionally and physically enthusiastic and passionate about getting the sin out of your life. That's what we ought to do. Be fervent about it. Repent. And I'm talking about you be fervent about the repentance of sin. I'm talking about you being fervent about your own. Some of us get so fervent about somebody else's. I wish they'd get this right. I wish they'd get that right. Boy, you and I have our hands full with ourselves. I have a sermon called A Toothpick and a Tube Before I'm going to preach here before long. The Bible said you might want to watch. You go around talking about somebody that's got a toothpick or a splinter in their eye, but you got a tube before hanging out of your face. We need to make sure that we are earnest and we are zealous about repentance. Hey, new Christians, let me tell you something. As you begin to change your life, and you're supposed to, as you begin to change your life and repent of the sins that are in your life, get ready, somebody's going to call you a fanatic. Anybody here that's been through the process will tell you. Well, you're going to get saved and you're going to start taking sin out of your life and changing the way you do things. Somebody in your family is going to say, you're becoming a fanatic. Now, you don't have to say this to them, but you might stop and say, well, praise the Lord. That fanatical part right there, the word fanatic's not in the Bible, but the word zealot is in the Bible. And a zealot is someone that is intense about their Christianity to the point that everybody else almost calls them ridiculous. But we're supposed to be zealots for the Lord. Let me go on. So first of all, we discussed what zeal was. Secondly, we said that zeal is the duty of the Christian. Thirdly, Revelation 3:19, we should have a zeal about repenting from our sin. Fourthly, I just want to share with you a couple, two or three, quick examples of good zeal or people that practice good zeal in the Bible. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers 25. Numbers chapter 25, we're going to see a man here by the name of Phinehas. Phinehas had zeal. And I want you to see the zeal of this man and how it affected some other people. Numbers 25, verse number 11, I'll read it. It says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Here the Bible says that Phinehas was zealous toward God. Now, while you're right there, I want you to jump down to verse number 13. Numbers 25:13, it says, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. I mean, an atonement for the children of Israel. Look back at me, if you will. Phinehas had zeal. It was a good zeal at this time in his life. He was so zealous for God that God did not judge others because of Phinehas's zeal. That's amazing to me. Here's somebody that was so fired up for God that God said, your zeal is going to cause me to spare the people around you. His zeal impressed God enough that God was good to everyone because of the zeal of one. The zeal of one. Let me read it to you again. He says in verse 11, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel. God said, I looked at his zeal, I could have consumed the children of Israel, but because of Phinehas' zeal, I did not. Let me ask you a question. Is your zeal going to salvage anyone? So I have ladies that will come to me and say, but the ones my husband's not interested in serving the Lord. He doesn't come to church, and he really doesn't have anything to do with church. What about my family? Hey, serve God. Serve God. Your zeal for God is going to make a difference in your family. It can make a difference in your family. But wonder if my husband will come. You just keep serving God. Phinehas had a zeal for God, and as a result, a bunch of other people were spared. Oh my, what a wonderful thing. Phinehas had zeal. He had a passion, virtually to a jealousy about wanting to do things for God. I'm not talking about a wicked jealousy. I'm talking about a pure jealousy where he wanted to protect the things of God and do right with the things of God. Jesus had zeal. Let me read something to you. The Old Testament mentions Jesus time and time again. Isaiah 59:17, this is an Old Testament reference and description of Jesus Christ. It says this, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Here, the zeal of Jesus Christ was so great that it resulted in mankind being able to be saved. Let me tell you something. It is possible that one zeal can protect others. It is possible, according to this, that somebody's zeal will result in people being saved. The zeal of Jesus Christ made it so you and I could be saved. He is our example. There are people in here. You need to get some zeal about the things of God. You say, why? Because there are people that need to be saved because of you, and it is going to take zeal to get it done. So I see that Phinehas had zeal. I see that Jesus had zeal. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to find verse 139. Psalm 119, once you get there, Psalm 119, we're going to look at verse number 139. Here, speaking of David, and the Bible says, my zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten my words. Again, I see zeal used in a positive way here. Now, what does it mean? David's zeal got fired up because of the coldness of others. You see, he's saying, because my enemies have forgotten God's word, my zeal for God's word has become even more consuming. Notice, David did not use the excuse, nobody else is excited, so I'm not. David said, nobody else is excited, I got to get double excited. That's what he means. My zeal hath consumed me. He said, hi, I'm consumed with zeal. Now, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you something that fires me up. Let me tell you something that energizes me. I travel the country and I'll watch preachers and I'll watch churches that are as dead as a doornail. Now, if I wanted that, it could depress me. It doesn't. It challenges me. It makes me realize that if preachers are dropping the ball and churches are dropping the ball, we've got to get double excited. We've got to do more. There's a job to be done. I'm not looking for excuses to get out of doing something for God. I'll use the lack of commitment to the Word of God as a catapult to do greater things for God. That's exactly what David is saying. He said, I became more consumed about the things of God because of the people who are less consumed. Let the lack of zeal multiply yours. Let's go on. In the New Testament church of Corinth, the Bible says they had zeal. I won't have you turn to this verse, but let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying of the church. Now here's what happened. This New Testament church, this church at Corinth, they're being told that you have had a zeal for some of the gifts of God. Now, they're getting corrected just a little here, and the Lord's saying, I'm advising you that you add to your desire to have some gifts. You make sure that you want them so they edify the church. But there's a compliment here as well. They are being given credit for being zealous about wanting to use the gifts of God to help people. Now, do you enthusiastically desire spiritual talents so you can better help the church? You know, a lot of people would love to have talent developed in their life so they can help their career. And I'm not against that. I think God will bless you in your secular ventures, but may I say, we ought to be saying, God bless me with abilities and bless me with talents so I can serve you. This church was given credit for being zealous about developing their abilities to serve God, and then God said, now add to that the edifying of the church, and you'll be productive. So, we see that Phinehas had zeal, and Jesus had zeal, and David had zeal, and the church at Corinth was told to have zeal. There's another verse. It's found, this is the last verse we'll turn to tonight. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Colossians chapter 4, I want you to turn to verse number 12. Colossians 4:12. A man by the name of Epaphras had zeal. He was a man of zeal. Epaphras, Colossians 4:12, I'll read it to you. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. Look back at me, if you will. Here the Bible says that this man by the name of Epaphras had zeal. He had zeal for people. He had zeal. It talks about him being a man of prayer. He was zealous about prayer, a zeal for helping people. Notice he's called a servant here. Listen, you and I ought to have a zeal for serving people. You and I ought to have a zeal about developing our talents and gifts so we could edify the church. We should have, hey, the lack of zeal among Christians should cause you and I to want to double up our zeal, just like David. Jesus had a zeal that caused salvation to be made available. Our zeal will determine whether some will be saved or some will be lost. Phinehas had zeal, and he had a zeal that impressed God enough that that man's zeal covered the lack of zeal of others. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples of people that misused zeal. They misused zeal. Saul slew a group of people called the Gibeonites when God did not want them to be slain. Let me read something to you. 2 Samuel 21, verse 1 and 2. It's lengthy. Listen, please. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered it for Saul and answered it, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah." Here's what happened. There had been kind of a treaty made here, and there had been a promise made that the Gibeonites would not be slain. Saul, in his zeal, reached out and hurt some people. Because of it, God brought a famine to the land. David, for 3 years, there was a famine brought upon that people because there were people, the leader was using his zeal for the wrong things. He had hurt some people. Listen, folks, if we don't use our zeal to help people, we're probably going to use it to hurt people. You need to be zealous about doing good and zealous about helping people and zealous about meeting people's needs. Saul wrongfully slew the Gibeonites, and God said, "Your zeal got out of hand. You misused your zeal." Can I tell you all something? It's probably a good thing. I'm glad I'm saved. I know something about me. If I were not zealous for God, boy, would I be a hellcat. Can you imagine somebody that's put together like me living out in the world? How about you? People that are fighters for the Lord, better watch out. Some of the most dangerous people you ever meet, people that will fight for the Lord, when they get contrary and they get backslidden away from God, they'll fight God. You better keep your zeal and keep it channeled and aimed toward helping people, or you'll end up destroying people with it. Saul wrongfully slew the Gibeonites, and it was a misappropriation of his zeal, the Bible teaches. Paul's commitment to the Old Testament laws, he talks about them in regard to the word zeal. Let me read it to you. Acts 22:3. Paul is talking to some people. He says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the Father, and was zealous for God, as ye all are this day." Here's what Paul's doing. Paul's trying to explain to some people that he no longer is attached to the Old Testament law, but that he believes in salvation by grace through faith. And as he's doing it, he's trying to tell them, "You depend on the law." He said, "I depend on grace." And he's trying to explain that. Paul says to these people, "I was a zealot for the law." But now he's a zealot for grace. Virtually, Paul was saying, "I used to be committed to a religion, if you will, that was not adequate." Can I tell you something? I know some Buddhists who are more zealous for old pot-bellied Buddha than some Baptists are for Jesus. I have no respect for what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. But I'll tell you what, they're everywhere. They're not afraid to do something. I do not believe what they believe, but there's some character there. There is some zeal for wrong. You and I ought to have more zeal for right than somebody else has zeal for wrong. And what's happening here, Paul is saying to this group of people, "I was zealous for some things that wouldn't even save you." He said, "Now I'm zealous for the grace of Jesus Christ." And that's how it ought to be. Some of us used to be zealous for the devil in our lifestyle. We put more energy into living for the devil than what we put into living for the Lord, and that's not right. We need zeal. You know, if some of us would try as hard to do right as we used to try at doing wrong, we might get something out of this thing. So, Saul misused his zeal. Paul refers back to a zeal that he had about something that wouldn't even save you, and he is talking about getting the zeal placed in the right area of life. There's a man by the name of Jehu, who is known for being a zealot. The Bible says in 2 Kings 9:20, it says, "And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again, and the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously." I tell everybody, this verse right here reminds me of Evan Barnes. because it says he drove furiously. Man's taken out more mailboxes than anybody in West Virginia. Don't ever cut wood with him. You're taking your life into your own hands. Here's the story. Ahaziah, king of Judah, was waiting for news from a battle, and he needed news as to whether or not there would be peace among some people. A fellow by the name of Jehu, he had been where the battle was, and he jumped in his chariot or jumped on his horse and took off riding. And I mean, he was all excited. He said, I want to be the first one back to the king. And he's riding along like a crazy maniac. The king and the watchman are watching for someone to come and bring him word. They see this guy named Jehu, and he is riding furiously. I mean, he's got his chariot in fourth gear. I mean, he's got that, maybe he's got the pedal to the metal, and he's riding along, and he's smiling to beat the fans. He pulls into camp, and everyone said, "Hey, have you got news for us?" He said, "I'm here." They said, "What's the news?" He said, "I'm first. I made it. I beat the other guy." Oh. They said, "Do you have news?" "No." The Bible says they had to send a second delivery man who had the news. Here's what God tells us. You know, Jehu is excited, but he accomplished nothing. Zeal is to be productive. It's not to show off. We're not zealous, so somebody says we're zealous. We're zealous, so we're productive. And people that blow smoke, you know, making it look how busy. You know, there are people that are busy about the Lord when we're supposed to be busy serving the Lord. Busyness is not always productiveness. Jehu had a zeal, but he was empty. It was empty zeal. It was energy that was unproductive. Let's be productive with our zeal. Zeal. The Bible says of Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What is zeal? Fervency, earnestness, emotional and physical enthusiasm about something, virtually to the point of a pure jealousy over it. It is the duty of a good Christian to practice zeal. We need zeal in repenting from our sins. Phinehas had zeal, and it covered the lack of zeal of others. Jesus had zeal. The human race has the availability of salvation because of it. David had zeal. He wasn't looking for an excuse so he could blame his lack of zeal on others when he seemed to lack. He said, "That means I've got to make up for it." The church at Corinth had a zeal about developing their gifts so they could edify the church. Epaphras had zeal for people, and he knew if I didn't use my zeal to help, I would use my zeal to hurt. Saul misused his zeal, and he hurt a lot of people. Paul said, "I had zeal for things that didn't even make a difference, and then I changed my mind and said, I will use zeal for the grace of God rather than the law of God." Jehu had zeal, but it was empty. It was an excitement that was unproductive. You and I are to be people of zeal. Peculiar people, purified people.